Well, we are gathered here, as we said, for a wedding this morning. And as I mentioned before the service began, this is a sacred service for us. Marriage in Scripture is an image of the relationship between God and His church. The Lord describes the relationship between Himself and us as a people as a sacred marriage. And heaven itself is described as a wedding feast, a celebration of the marriage of Christ and His church. So that every time we celebrate a wedding, we are giving a picture of God Himself, of His relationship to us. And I don't think it's a case in which the writers of Scripture or Jesus Himself simply looked around and said, what's a good metaphor for us to use? There are places in Scripture where we get metaphors that are useful, but they're not essential in a sense. God at one point describes Himself as a mother chicken who gathers us under His wings. It's an interesting image. If you've seen a chicken gather a little chick under its wings to keep it warm, it's a beautiful image. But we don't go around thinking of God as a chicken, right? That's not an essential image. It's just a useful metaphor. But when we call God Father, there's more to it than that. When we call God Father, we actually understand what a human father is in light of God the Father. And we haven't all had none of us have had perfect fathers. We haven't all had even good fathers. But we don't judge God based on human fathers. We judge human fathers based on God the Father. We say that's what they're supposed to imitate. That's what human fathers are supposed to seek to be like. Well, in a similar way, a marriage is patterned after and is intended to show something of the grace of God in the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church. Ephesians describes Christ laying down His life for the church as partners in a marriage lay down their lives for each other, sacrifice for each other, love each other. So that when we witness a wedding and the commitment of a wedding, the commitment of a relationship in which we say, I am going to give myself to you and stay with you for the rest of my life or the rest of your life, and I'm going to seek to sacrifice for you. And in my humanity, in my weakness, I'm not going to do that perfectly. But my goal is going to be to follow in the example of Jesus Christ as He literally died for His people and continues to bless and serve them for all eternity. I'm going to seek to do that for you. Our wedding service at the beginning, as I read out sort of the intention of marriage, I talked about these different pieces of what a marriage looks like and what it means. A marriage is for the procreation of children. I don't want to be too personal, but I'm going to guess that Ed and Susan probably will not be having any more children. Just a guess. And yet, in that very idea of one of the purposes of marriage being to have children is the idea that marriage forms a family. And Ed and Susan are forming a new family together. And we've talked many times in this church about our desire to be a family under God. That all Christians become brothers and sisters because they're adopted by God the Father. So that we're all a family. And at this congregation, this local version of the body of Christ, this local gathering of Christians, we try to live out being a family, making lots of mistakes and failures of all kinds. Just as in every marriage, there are lots of mistakes and failures, we nevertheless seek to be a family under the leadership of God. We seek to love each other. And as our church is a family, now Ed and Susan are becoming a family together. So that we as a church get to watch them be a new family. With all the complications of that, knitting together two extended families, their adult children, all of those pieces creating a new family together, it's complicated. Just as it's complicated for all of us to be a church family. And it's even more complicated all around the world to have this idea that all Christians together are a family. It's complicated, it's messy, it's difficult, and yet it's beautiful, and it's a reality created by God. Marriage for us is more than an agreement, it's more than a contract. Ed and Susan already went down to the courthouse and got their certificate that I'll sign later that says in the eyes of the state they'll be married after today. But that's an important formality, but it's just a formality. That certificate is a contract, in a sense, in the eyes of the state for all kinds of governmental purposes they'll be married, and that's important. But that's not what the marriage is. That's not what the wedding is. A wedding, the joining of two people together, is something that only God can do. It's sacramental in the sense that God himself will give them the grace to be married together, to love and support each other, that God will be involved in their wedding and in their marriage, helping them keep their vows. They still have a responsibility in that, as we all do, in every relationship, whether it's a marriage or not. We still have the responsibility to love, to be patient, to be kind, to give people the benefit of the doubt. All of those things that make a marriage work and that also make every other relationship work. We still have a responsibility for that. But God, in joining Ed and Susan together, is blessing their union and helping them with his grace to fulfill all the vows they're going to take in just a few minutes. And as God does that in their relationship, we all, as their church family, get to look on, encourage them, bless them, support them. Earlier we asked the question, it's a very traditional question, does anyone object to this? And then it follows with, if not, forever hold your peace. What that means is that in an hour or tomorrow or a week or a month or a year or 10 years, you don't say, well, maybe they shouldn't have gotten married. And, you know, maybe I'm Ed's friend or Susan's friend, and maybe I'm going to talk poorly about this person's spouse to them or discourage them in their wedding or say, maybe you shouldn't have gotten married. Or words can do incredible damage to relationships, or they can bless relationships. We together today as a congregation have made a commitment that we will honor and support their marriage, which means that when Ed is having a hard time, we come around and say, but Susan is so wonderful, and you were lucky. And when Susan is having a hard time, we come around to her and say, but Ed is wonderful, and you have been so blessed. We lift up their marriage. We support their marriage. We encourage their marriage. If we see either of them doing things that are hurting their marriage, whatever those things would be, we gently take them aside and say, do you really want to do that? Is that really what you intended? We give practical support where we can. Ed and Susan have each been through the death of a spouse, and each of them were so faithful to their spouse through a long period of sickness. They loved and supported their spouse. Part of the reason we're so able to bless their marriage is that we watch them be loving, supportive, generous, sacrificial spouses to the husband and wife that each passed away, so that we can expect them to love and support each other in the same way. But we all know, because we've watched other people in our congregation and we've watched them previously, that that takes help. If one of them gets sick, the rest of us need to come alongside and say, how can we help out? Can we bring a meal? Can we visit? What can we do to support you in your marriage? They're forming a family together within a larger family of our church and of the community of faith, of Christians everywhere. And we together support their family, and we learn from their commitment how to be a family, how to be married. This isn't the first wedding I've done, but it's the first wedding I've done in which the married couple has decades more experience being married than I do. So I didn't do any marriage counseling that was tips on how to be better married. Right? I can learn from them, as we all can. But still, we talk about the importance of the commitment. What are the other purposes of marriage? Holy living. Holy living. That together, their marriage gives us a picture of what it means to be faithful and mature Christians. Their commitment to each other is a lifelong commitment from here going forward. That matters. They're not saying, well, we're going to date. We're going to grow in our relationship. We're going to grow in intimacy, but we don't know if we really want to make a commitment or not. No, they're saying we're making a lifelong commitment from here forward so that their intimacy and their relationship and their commitment is all a picture of the type of commitment and intimacy that God desires with us as well as for us. That the commitment of Jesus Christ to us as his church, his people, is a commitment of death do us part. Except in the case of Jesus and his commitment, it's until eternal life, everlasting life, never-ending life is gone. For as long as Jesus Christ is God, our living God, his commitment to us lasts. And he will work in our lives and give us the grace by the power of his Holy Spirit for our life to continue as well with him. So that their commitment that says, this is a commitment that will last as long as we live, becomes a picture for us of the constancy, the everlastingness, the security of Christ's commitment to us. This is why marriage is so important. Why the commitment of marriage is so important, that we do everything we possibly can to keep marriages together and make them work. Finally, two more pieces. Marriage is for the mutual comfort and support. This is probably the most obvious one for Ed and Susan. They're joining together in a partnership in which they love and support each other, which they give comfort to each other. After decades of marriage faithfully to their spouses, each of them was left alone, still with a loving community, still with loving family. But after decades of marriage, they became a widow and a widower. There's a loneliness to that. And yet now, through a gift of God, they're together. They're not lonely anymore in the same way. And sure, marriage doesn't meet all of our needs, even for relationship. Friendships are still important. The larger biological family, their adult children, grandchildren, all of that still matters. Marriage doesn't meet every need we have. And if we think it will, that becomes a type of idolatry in a sense that actually hurts marriage. If we expect marriage to meet every single relational need, we put too much weight on it because marriage isn't meant to do that. And yet, there's a gift in marriage, a companionship, a friendship that is maybe the most important relational piece of marriage. The great marriage researcher, John Gottman, who's done incredible studies on marriage, says that the single most important thing in a successful marriage, this might be surprising, the single most important thing that predicts if a marriage will stay together is that the couple just likes each other a lot. It seems kind of common sense-ish, but it actually goes against a lot of the wisdom people think they have, the common sense they think they have. Communication skills are important. Listening well is important. Spending lots of time together is important. But all of that pales beside simply liking each other a whole lot. Because when you like each other, you give each other the benefit of the doubt. When you like each other, you want to spend time together. And even if you don't have as much time as you wish you did, you look forward to when you can spend time together. Your spouse makes a joke and you find it genuinely funny, even if nobody else does. Or if you don't find it funny, you think, how cute that this awkward humor is. My wife laughs the loudest at that, but you enjoy each other. Ed and Susan enjoy each other and enjoy being together so that they get the gift of mutual comfort. Finally, marriage is a partnership for God and His kingdom. Most weeks I call people up here for anniversaries and I pray for them. And one of the things I often say is that I will bless them for their partnership for God in the next year. And thank God for their partnership for God. Marriage is not just for the couple and each other. It's not just the mutual blessing of them. Marriage is a partnership in order to serve God. And what that partnership produces varies from couple to couple. But God blesses marriage so that good may come out of their marriage. Ed and Susan are marrying not just to be together, but also to serve God together. And we will discover as a church community what good things come out of that. They've already expressed a desire, for example, that the two of them together want to visit people, shut-ins in our church, and others who, when they are in the hospital and things like that, they would like to, from time to time, go together as a married couple to bless and visit with those who can't come and be at our service. That's one example of a partnership and a gift that a couple can have. Anyone could do that. But how special it is for a married couple to go together and do that. It strengthens a marriage while also serving God. And I look out at our congregation and I see so many married couples where I think, you're doing more for the kingdom because you're together. Now, I also see single people in our congregation. People who are widows and widowers, or people who have never married, or all different situations. And I remember that I was single until my late 30s. I remember that. Marriage is not required to live a life of godliness or a life of fulfillment. It's not. You're here blessing this wedding and observing this wedding and participating not just to support Ed and Susan, but also because the image of marriage is an image for you too. Because again, the image of earthly marriage points us to the image of Christ in His church. That's what it's about, first and foremost. And whether you are married here on this earth or not, whether you've never been married, whether you hope to be married, whether you have been married and lost a spouse, nevertheless, the image is that you will be joined with Christ in the heavenly marriage forever. Forever. And still you can taste of the relationships in this world of friendship and support and all of the family life of our church and of other Christians. You can receive all of those pieces now today. And yet always the image of marriage and our experience on life, whether we're single or married, it points to that relationship that will last forever. And so we are so thankful for Ed and Susan, not only for their presence here with us and their participation in our church family, but that they shared their wedding with us. This is not a sacrifice for us in which we gave up our normal service so they could get married on Sunday morning. It's not that. Rather, they shared their wedding with us so that we all together could participate in it to experience again an image, a picture of God's commitment to us the marriage of Jesus Christ and his church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.